is meant for an adult audience. Bloodline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
All right. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction man, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, get it on. Woo! Gotta get it on. Gonna get it on. No choice but to get it on. You know what the mandate for tonight is?
Get it on.
Did you say get it on?
Getting it on.
Did you say get it on?
I said.
Okay, then, yeah. Okay. Then that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phew.
Uh-huh. You ready to rock?
Let's rock.
What's happening? What's going on out there?
What do you want to talk about?
What's happening? Man, nothing yet. I'll talk later.
All right.
You ready?
Let's go.
Laura?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
I was on Seroquel for a while, and unbeknownst to me, it caused my breasts to start lactating.
That's a common side effect of psychiatric meds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't get that, told that till afterwards, unfortunately.
Why? Why was that so distressing to you?
My boyfriend says that it's made him not want to do anything with my breasts, and it's upsetting to me a little bit.
All right. The other thing you need to do is...
Well, what kind of... Let me just ask you. You're a man.
She's your boyfriend, by
yeah,
the way.
I know. You're a man. Drew.
Yeah, I am?
Whenever I
really?
Hear, well, yes. Not all man, but you're part man. And whenever I hear a young guy sort of coming clean about something sexually, I never believe it. I don't trust it. You know what I mean? Like, this has made me not want to fondle your breast.
Doesn't compute.
Even if that's what he was thinking... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know where to go with it. Even is he trying to get out of this relationship? I can't compute it.
Sometimes guys just try, because I think sometimes guys just try to accumulate like bonus miles.
Yeah.
Which is,
oh, I'm putting out for you kind of thing.
You know how women get PO'd when you go out and have a good time?
Right.
So you come home and say you had a crappy time.
Yes.
Don't get any bonus mileage.
Right.
This is just, and guys start playing into this game, and
sure.
They just start having, oh, I don't, this is a turn off, or I don't like it, or I'm a victim too, or whatever, so they can score points.
Well, it's also a way of sort of keeping them down.
Right.
You know, keeping your partner down. So keep her on the defensive.
Did this guy just come out and tell you he no longer feels comfortable manipulating your breasts?
Yeah, he was the one who informed me that they were lactating. I didn't know that it was going on.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for not answering my question.
Once again.
Whatsoever. Did he just come... Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
I think it was an oblique
well,
yes.
Would you answer it?
Yeah, he just said that it made him uncomfortable. One day, he just said it.
He said, I'm uncomfortable fondling your breasts.
Yeah, he said it scarred him, that he used to like breasts. And now he did not anymore.
Oh, he's,
okay.
He's,
now, if he used the word scar, either he's kidding or he's
gay.
A sociopath.
I'm hoping he's kidding.
All right. Well, he's kidding then.
I hope so. He's really stopped wanting to particularly use his mouth on them.
Well, okay. Well, you say you hope he's kidding. Do you have any... You don't know the difference between when your man is kidding and when he's not?
You can go ahead and tell us what you think.
He's kidding. Sorry.
What do you sounded like? Okay, listen. Would you get lost?
I know.
It's like, I don't want to massage your brain until some truth comes out. Just answer the goddamn question.
She needs some part of her body massaged, Adam. Let's give her a break.
She's kidding.
All right, here's...
Well, he was kidding. Well, he said he never wanted to touch me. He said he was scarred. Really? Well, he may have been kidding. Well, you don't know if he was kidding? Well, I think he was kidding.
He sure sounded like...
Okay,
no.
What are we talking about?
She didn't even say I think he was kidding. She said, well, sure sounded like
Listen,
it.
Listen, your choices. No, Laura, you can stay on hold for 40 minutes or you can hang up right now.
No, but I have something to tell her.
No, I do.
It's important.
No,
it's medical.
No,
I have
I
to tell
care.
Her.
Then she has to stay on hold for 40 minutes. I don't want to talk to her.
I don't have to talk to her. I just have to tell her. That's
the same.
Need to get a prolactin level. That sometimes people that have are prone to lactation from some of these medications do so because they have a prolactin secreting tumor in their pituitary, and that needs to be treated. If your prolactin level is over 100, may have a problem.
Just go to Juan.
Hello.
Oh boy.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From
Juan.
The frying pan into the fire. What's happening, Juan?
Well, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I went to this urologist, I think it is. For a sperm count, and he sent me to this lab and everything. So I went right, and the count came out zero.
The sperm count
zero. Huh?
The sperm count.
Sperm count.
So you produced, you ejaculated into a cup.
Yes.
And they looked at your sperm, and you had a zero sperm count. Why do you think?
First off, congratulations as the first Mexican to produce no sperm. I don't know if there's another Mexican on the planet that doesn't produce sperm.
Well, so the question is, what are the chances of me getting someone pregnant after?
Well, that's I need to know why you have zero sperm count. What happened?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I'm going back to this doctor to ask him that thing, that question, you know.
Now what about, when I'm no specialist, but low sperm count or zero? I didn't even
never
really know there's such a thing as zero.
Zero is like after a vasectomy, you get zero.
Well, yeah, that was the whole idea. I was going in for a vasectomy, but
Hold on, Juan.
Yeah. Why would you be getting a vasectomy if you're infertile?
I'm sorry?
Do you have kids?
See, that's the thing. My wife says that I have one.
Man, my wife tried to pull that crap, too. I was like, no way.
Oh, my God. Who else has kids with your wife?
She has a daughter from her previous marriage.
Right.
And then I'm supposed to have one with her.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
Who is that, Dad?
But the woman that I was dating before her, she wanted to have a child with me or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to, not yet. And she was like, okay, I'm going to get on the pill or something. And I was like, okay. So she said she did that. But after we broke up, she was like, you know what? I never did. And that was right before I wanted to go to get a vasectomy done.
Why do you want to get a vasectomy?
Wait, did you get the vasectomy done?
No, I did not.
This was the workup for the vasectomy.
Because we have, you know, my wife has a daughter and we have a son.
All right,
and,
so
I thought it was enough. So
okay, good. Wow.
Well done. This is extraordinary on so many levels, Juan.
It's intriguing. Now you say you're questioning whether that son of yours is yours.
Well, that was my second question, but I did a DNA test and it came out, you know, that I am not.
You're not the father.
Yeah.
Oof.
You did a DNA test. Wow.
Yep. Oof, you're moving along here, Juan.
I wanted to ask the doctor to do this. I did it by mail.
Huh?
You know, they sent me a kit, and I did what they asked me to do there, send it back, and then I called for the results, and they say I am not. Is that accurate? I mean,
well, what about your son? Your son must have had to put a sample in as well, right?
Mm. Yeah, he did. I mean, I'm the one who took the sample with the swab thing or whatever.
Yeah, it's
What did your wife say when you're doing the swab?
She doesn't know.
Oh my!
I did it because I wanted to know before I confront her or whatever.
Yeah.
To know if he was my son or before I said anything.
I'll tell you, probably could have saved yourself $49.95 by just getting a Q-tip and go, I got this DNA thing online. I just got to get swabbed. She would have just fessed up right there. You know what I mean?
Right. Just here it comes. Here
do that with your kids.
Perfect.
Yeah, just go. I'm bringing your wife sing like a canary halfway into the second kid's swab.
It was all in a dish. A Petri dish.
You don't know.
Yeah, I know the lab guys might have mixed some stuff in.
Yeah, but
that's
still
the guy I want tested.
Yeah, but still. Well, at least you got a guy with a college degree.
That's right.
God knows what Juan has. Juan.
Yes.
How old is your son?
He's going to be 5 on December.
My.
He'll be 5. And now, obviously.
Here's what I recommend.
Well, now, I want to know if your feelings changed at all for him when you got the results back from the lab.
I feel the same way about him. It's my wife. I mean, I feel, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be with her anymore.
Right. Ugh. Well, now, what do you think may have happened? Were you guys broken up for a period of time before, you know?
How long have you been married?
He was conceived.
About 5 years. I mean, it's going to be 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
When we got together, she got pregnant right away. So, I don't know. I mean, it could have been somebody else.
So she may not have...
No. I mean, yes.
She may not have cheated on you. This may have been from a prior relationship before you two got together.
Yeah, but the other thing, I mean, she said she, that when we got together, she said, well, she was married, right? So when we got together, I was asking her, you know, I just wanted to know how was her relationship with this other guy. And she was like, well, to let, she said, like, I haven't been with him. You know,
yeah, but it's her husband. It's her husband.
It's her husband.
It's her husband. Give her a break. Give her a pass on that.
Okay.
One.
So,
well,
but
I believe her, and now we.
No. Well. Okay. But Juan, yeah. Please listen to reason here.
Keep a family together for that child. Whoever the okay. child that you love and have raised as though you were the father, be the father.
This was not.
Please.
This was not you guys being married for 10 years and you
right.
have a 5-year-old. This is her being a previous relationship and not a one-night stand. She's married
yeah.
to this guy who sired this child.
Probably. Hopefully.
So you're, well, she said it's that guy. Well, yeah. hopefully. So you're basically stepdad and it's your, but I look at this kid as your kid.
Yeah, I would talk to the urologist about whether or not this could be a transient problem with your sperm production, or is this something you were born with or something that's happened to you since birth? Why is this the case? And is there a possibility that you could have your sperm count could come back for some reason, or it
yeah.
could be restored? In either case, don't assume you're infertile until you've been checked up by the
All
urologist.
All right, and Juan. Just listen. Don't start referring to the kid by his first name or calling him your stepson.
No.
And just don't talk. And your kid doesn't. He's your kid.
Please.
Please. All right?
No, all right.
Juan.
Okay. Juan. There you go.
Please.
Juan, please. Don't do anything stupid. Just, it's your kid. Okay?
Yeah.
Put all that crappy bravado aside and just be a man
about it. As a 5-year-old.
Yeah. This child needs a father. You're his father.
You're it.
Okay?
He needs you.
Don't punish the kid. And let me tell you know, if you get into some of that crap where it's like, I'm not going to punish the kid, but I'm going to torture her,
yeah.
you're punishing the kid.
That's right. You're creating a horrible environment for the kid.
Keep that DNA result in your wallet, and you just sort of use it.
When you need it.
Yeah, it's like a bus pass. like you know, it's like, she's like, I want to see that new movie, Must Like Dogs. I want to see the new Stealth Bomber movie. Well, we got the... Honey, see the... Yeah, you reading that? Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just flash your tin. All right, we'll be seeing that movie. Seeing the Stealth movie. Here we come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just milk that thing.
Oh, of course.
That's wouldn't even bad, like... It would even be worse something like that happening in a relationship just to go ahead and earn that baby. That is your
get out of jail free.
It's your handicap
yeah.
parking placard.
Yeah, yeah.
Now no one wishes you should get hit by a bus, but you make it back on your feet. You got a little limp. Boom.
Placard.
For the next 40 years, you're parking front and center. Events, going to the store, the
That's
market,
nice.
Pow, pulling right in the front of the place.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
You could do worse. Where are we, Drew?
One.
Tim?
Yeah?
You know what they need? They need grades of handicapped. Because right now they just got, hey, you're either handicapped or you're not. And 15-16ths of the people that qualify for the handicapped parking thing aren't really handicapped. But technically, within some sort of crazy insurance criteria or the DMV criteria, they are handicapped. So you see some guy pull up in his Corvette and hop out of his car. He's wearing a tennis sweater. And he just goes walking right into the Gelsons. And it's like, that's handicap? Well, he has astigmatism in one eye. And
basically, you know, handicap is he needs an assisting device to get around. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so many people get those placards for their cars. All I'm saying is they got to have, and here's how the parking goes. There's handicapped 1A. I mean, you're 1A, you're right. You get to park in the store.
Wait, I got a
You guys should drive through the doors
yes.
and park like
nice.
In the frozen food section.
Beautiful.
Or you just get to drive your vehicle in the
just
store.
Just in the aisles. Perfect.
The guy with the Denali just coming down the yeah. frozen food section.
Hugo, be perfect.
Yeah, you have to get a maneuverable car.
Yeah, of
like,
course.
Yeah, something like that. Trunk's open. You got your helper just throwing stuff in there. But as it gets further away, as you get into the guy who's in his 30s and is fine, but he's got a...
We go from blue to yellow.
He's got a bone spur or something. Yeah, he's parking further and further away. And so you don't feel so bad. Well, he's closer than you can park, but he's still 100 yards from the store.
If, as you say, 15-16ths or 15 out of 16 of people with these placards don't really warrant them, why don't we go the other way? Why don't we just start giving them to everybody? And so there's no more parking.
It's every man for themselves?
Well, just those two spaces and...
Yeah.
Who's going to get them? Nobody. You might as well park with everybody else then.
Well, I also feel I also feel like you should be able to bribe a guy with a placard. Like, they should have vouchers. Where I say something like this. Look, I've been driving around this goddamn Costco for an hour and a half. I can't find a place to park. You got the handicap placard, but it's not like you're burned in a refinery fire or something. You're not moving too good. Here's $50.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a little voucher.
By the way, if you tried that, you'd have the placard in your back of your car.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Work on that.
Oh, yeah.
And then every once in a while, they crack down on that, though.
I know.
Because they find some athletes over at USC or UCLA who have them in their cars and using them. All right, I'm just saying grades of plaques. I don't like to see the 8 empty spaces right out front of the Home Depot.
And so much of it is so, I'm just thinking about the retarded. As usual, when you institutionalize things, it never works, right? So you still have anybody with an assistive device. So if you have a splint on your finger, now you get a placard. But if you have heart disease, you have to be class 3 or class 4 heart failure.
Oh, really?
If you're having angina, that means you're about to have a heart attack getting out of your car. Well, I'm sorry, it's not for you. You go ahead and have a heart attack.
Wow.
But heart failure, if you're short of breath, well, we'll get something going.
Is assistive device, you mean really, it's not crutches or walker?
It's as I remember, it's a little vague.
A little vague?
Yeah.
Gotta keep one of those in the car. Tim?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, let me kind of explain a little bit of hack history. I've had sex with two different girls in my life.
14?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Really?
Each time, the first girl, I found out after we had sex that she had been abused when she was a child by her father, and then also my girlfriend. See, I cheated on my girlfriend with the girl I had sex with, and then my girlfriend, I found out in the relationship that she had also been abused, and then a lot of times, girls that I start going out with, I'll like find out from their friends or from them that they've been abused. And
come here and give me a hug.
Well, here's one of the things that strikes me about your selection there.
Yeah.
At 14, you're choosing 14-year-olds who are willing to have sex with you.
They've been abused.
That's basically what you're selecting.
Not even girls that have been, willing or like, both girls. One was 16, and then one was 18.
But then again, willing to be with a 14-year-old.
It's 18 with a 14-year-old. That's just effed up.
Yeah, and so that's what you're selecting there, I think. Right. You may or may not in your real life when you actually are of an age when you should be doing this stuff, may or may not attract women or be attracted to women who are abuse survivors, but right now you're just interested in people that are willing to have sex with you.
Well, also, it depends like where you're going to junior high and where you're going to high school. I mean, there's probably certain parts of the country and certain parts of, this city for sure where...
Los Angeles.
Yeah, the high school's got to be, under, general sort of umbrella of have you ever been abused, probably running about 80%.
Yeah.
For the love of Christ.
Do you mean sexually abused, Tim, or any kind of abuse?
No, my girlfriend, she was sexually abused, and then the other girl I knew all I found out was she was abused.
Physically abused, you mean?
I don't know. All I knew was she was abused. I knew her for about,
he doesn't sweat the details.
Yeah.
Abused.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, Tim, don't get
Slow
anyone
down.
Pregnant.
Slow it down, buddy. 14.
Reel it in.
Who? Let's break it down here.
Let's
come on.
Go. Let's
come
break
on.
It down.
He
come on, get a hand in.
What sports do you play, Tim?
Come on. Hey, let me say this, too, gentlemen, and I use that term loosely. Helmet, not a chair. Grab a knee. Let's go. It's not a chair.
Tim, do you play any sports?
No.
No, he doesn't. He's getting late.
He needs
that's
to put some energy into something else. Yeesh.
The Tiger Woods of humping.
Is he the dark t-shirt brooding guy? Ask him.
This whole jock thing getting laid is way
that's what
overblown.
That's why I'm sending him that direction. He needs to put some energy into sports.
No,
Tim, what guy are you?
I'm just really funny. That's really the only thing I got going for me.
Oh, yeah. Adam found that was very fruitful when he was in high school. Very.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Very effective.
Yeah. What do you have one of those teenage blonde mustaches?
I just got bogus call over there.
No.
Yeah. No. All right. You just got bogus,
The less comment.
About him being funny?
Being attractive.
Oh, he said he was attractive.
I think that's what he said.
He said something, or maybe that was attractive. Look, let me tell you a couple things about guys getting late. And I suspect this may be Tim's situation. We're picturing Lindsay Lohan.
That he's having sex with.
Yeah, there are plenty of high school chicks that are train wrecks, and if you want to dip, if you want to take that ladle and go ahead and scrape the bottom of the...
That's nice. I just love when humanity gets distilled down to that.
Well...
just the bottom of a lentil soup.
Yeah, you know,
container.
That, you know, that stuff gets a little
the
dried
crust.
Up.
Yeah, the crust. After been sitting out all afternoon.
Yeah, you're over at the Shakey's.
Yeah, it's like chili. That's all.
Yeah, it's been sitting in the crock pot mm-hmm. too long. The
yeah.
good stuff has been skimmed off mm-hmm. the top. You're willing to get some of that crusty stuff along the bottom. You'll get your chili. Oh, yeah. You'll get your chili. I'm thinking about it now. I probably could have got laid in high school. There was a chick who liked me when I was in the 10th grade, but her dad was such a prick. Her dad was...
Shiladenka?
No, that's Esty. That was my old girlfriend when I was in, like, the 7th grade.
Her dad was scary.
Her dad was, like, a part of the Israeli mafia or something. It scared the crap out of me. No, this guy... Now, this guy wasn't scary. He was an a-hole. This guy taught plastics.
I remember this. In
junior high.
Yeah, he's like a wood shop
yeah.
type guy.
Mr. Mallon.
Oof.
That a jackass. This guy's one of those just bitter shop teachers. I don't know how we did it, but every shop teacher and every PE teacher at my high school hated children. Like, here's the thing. You're going to teach plastics to a bunch of 13-year-olds. Great. I hate plastics and I hate kids.
Bring it
Fantastic.
On.
Bring it on. I remember this guy. Well, first off, it's a couple things. Like, you go into these classes charged. Like, you know, I'm going to make a kayak. That's going to be awesome. I'm going to make a kayak, and I'm going to shoot the rapids with it. You don't realize that semester 13, you're going to be working on a simulated marble pen set.
Of course.
For the next 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew this guy was a colossal a-hole because... it had that shop sink, you know, those old deep funky
yep.
shop
oh,
sinks
yes.
and it, in one of the shop sinks, one of the things, you know, one of the hand washing things, one of the spigots was converted to a drinking fountain. And here was his policy. You see that drinking fountain over there, people? I don't want to see anyone near it. When you come into this class, you come in and you sit down promptly. When it's time to go to work, we go to work. When it's time to clean up, we clean up. And when the bell rings, we leave. I don't need to see anybody. And I thought, you a-hole. There's no using the drinking fountain, which is at 9 feet away from where I'm sitting. And
he's
I just thought, what a prick.
Yeah, he's just
and I thought,
burnt out.
What? This is our first day?
Yeah.
The teacher in the LA Unified School District, when I used to go to Walter Reed, like the shop teachers and the PE teachers hated the kids' guts.
Yeah.
I mean, they just hated them.
What was the daughter like?
She was okay. There was nothing wrong with her, and she had a crush on me, but her dad was such a colossal a-hole, I just thought to myself, ugh.
Yeah.
Every time I looked at her, I just saw that big fat face and big drunken red... a gin blossom nose and the shot glass is going, don't use the drinking fountain. And I couldn't get near. Rather F my own sister.
Which,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing
wrong.
No.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so the poor girl, like, I never told her it was her horrible dad that made me
hate
her.
But she knows
now. Hopefully he's in the ground. I know it sounds cruel. I don't mean dad. I just mean actually... in the ground.
Just like a turnip or something. Just kind of
just half, head in the ground, growing like an onion. His teeth should fall out and hair should grow in their place. And his head should grow in the ground like an onion. Okay. All right, Drew, let's take a break.
Let's do.
Let me just hear Ashley's voice for a second. Ashley?
Hello?
Ooh.
Ooh. Say the...
the alphabet.
No, I like to hear...
More Jell-O,
more
please.
Jell-O,
I
want to
ride the pony, Daddy.
Well, that's a good one, too. All right, let's hear that one.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Oh, that's solid. But how about a very enthusiastic, more Jell-O, please?
More Jell-O, please.
17.
All right, hold on.
17.
Hold on.
There you go.
All right. We'll take a little break, then we'll be back to deconstruct Ashley after this. Yo! Woo! Yeah! Get it on, everybody. It's Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. 311 is going to be in here a little bit later this week. I haven't talked to those guys in a little while. How long has it been?
Didn't he come in and get loaded last time he was in here? Yeah, he got wasted. That was about 9 months ago, I bet. Maybe a year.
From 311?
Yeah.
Who came in?
Anderson, help me.
Who came in?
I forget
in?
His name. Nick?
Nick Hexum?
Yeah, Nick.
He got loaded?
He came here and got wasted.
Yeah, it was strange. He was talking about oral sex.
Yeah, he got completely...
Was he smoking weed?
No, it was alcohol. He came in loaded and just completely went all the way down. But he's a happy drunk. He was one of these gregarious types.
No, I like that.
And he was appropriately ashamed and embarrassed afterwards. But
he was.
He was fine.
Oh,
good times.
Well, he's back. All right. Let's keep on keeping on and speak to Ashley, who's 17. Ashley?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
More Jello.
Now, you have that little girl voice.
I know. It's a shame. But
yeah.
Have to deal with it.
Are you small in stature?
Yeah, I'm actually 5'2".
Whoa.
So I'm really short.
How much do you weigh?
Huh?
How much do you weigh?
I weigh like 113.
113. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the bad thing about being short is I have... 36 C's.
Mm.
So I'm short and big boobed.
Yeah, but the 36 parts should be a 34. Maybe step up to 34 D. Yeah?
Well, yeah, I can wear that too.
Oh, you can? All right, let's go ahead and do that. Like, I could wear a 36 waist, but I stuffed myself into a 34, so I could say I got a 34.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Better. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm chafing, and, you know, I have to unbutton my pants when I sit down, but it's worth it to say I wear a 34. You need to do the opposite with the bra. You understand how that works?
Yeah.
Hold on. Drew, is there no 35 pants? Because I am...
I used to be able to find 33s, but I cannot find 35.
For the last... 11 years of my life, I have been a little tight on a 34, a little 36, a little big.
Yes, same here.
And also emotionally not wanting to step up to the 36.
Now,
so 35 would work.
But here's what drives you totally out of your mind is that 34 in one pair of pants is totally
small.
Different.
They run small.
Oh, my God.
They run small.
Oh,
those.
Oh,
yeah.
I put a 34. I think I need a 42.
Whoa.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, the Gap khakis run really small. Really small. Okay, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. The Nike 11 is like a Reebok 10.5. Yeah, that makes part. Don't want to standardize that so we could just effing figure out what was going on?
It's very disconcerting.
What is the word? How about when you go to a steakhouse and you're like, I have the T-bone. No, I have the ribeye. Okay, how would you like that? Medium's good. Okay, our medium is like everyone else's medium.
Our medium.
Our medium is like other people's medium rare. So now you got to do the math.
Yes.
Okay, so I'd like it medium, but your medium is really a medium rare. So give it to me. Medium well
this
will
is
get
in,
me.
In
you
the
know,
category
like,
with our policy is
yes. You know that part where you start saying everyone else's and ours is? Just go ahead and sync up, would you please? You're staking your claim as a steakhouse by having... Our policies, our cooking methods are different, or we're confusing. It's like, stay for the steak, come back for the confusion.
Right.
Yep. Oh, that 34? No, they run small. I used to do that all the time. I'd get a jacket from a stupid wardrobe guy, and I'd be like, how many times I got to tell you I'm a 44 long? I can't move in it. That is a 44
yes,
long.
Yes.
I can barely move. My hand's hanging. I look.
You know what happens? It gets you stuck. You get stuck in a brand. You're like, I'm not leaving this brand ever.
I look like
because it just fits.
I look like Pee Wee Herman in this jacket.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, that designer runs really small.
Yes.
Oh, I want to just strangle everybody.
Yes.
Look, here's the deal. When you go to a gas station, you don't go like, oh, normally my car holds 18 gallons, but I got 23 gallons. Oh, we run really smooth. We have a different gallon system. Our gallons, we're like 80 ounces. It's not even just sync it up.
Thank you.
Have the rare means rare, medium means medium, 44 long is 44 long.
Now, what does our 34 or 36 person, Ashley, want to tell us?
Yeah. I got to work that out.
Here we go.
I could really use some 35s. Actually, I'll tell you what I could use. I could use some 36s with a 34 label.
Yeah.
That's what I need. That's what I want to start making. I'm telling you, I could make money with those pants. Ashley?
Uh-huh.
All right, so what's the question?
All right. I have to give you a little bit of a background first. When I was about 6 years old, I walked in on my mom cheating on my father.
At six?
Yes.
Interesting. How did that affect you?
I was pretty traumatized by it. I kept to myself very often.
Did your mom know that you cheated?
Yeah, and My parents, I was born in 87, and my parents were 19 when they got pregnant with me. And they started to do drugs and stuff. And
all right, well, this is where the little boy, forget your small stature, this is where the little girl voice comes from.
Yeah.
You sound like you're four.
Well, I try.
What else?
Yeah. Well, not try to sound four, but.
Are you virgin?
Yes.
All right.
Except for the sexual abuse.
Anyone abuse you sexually?
I think so.
Yeah, otherwise a virgin. Otherwise.
Yeah.
Otherwise, now.
All right.
How dare you?
Yeah,
but true.
I'm just saying. It's not cruel.
I've never seen you crueler.
No, I disagree. I wish people would just sort of belly up
well,
and go,
of course
yeah,
you disagree
I am
when
a virgin.
I call you cruel.
And now that you bring that up, you know, there is an issue here.
Well, if someone was raped or sexually abused as a youth, I think I could go ahead and call them a virgin.
Yes, but it's deceptive to then go and make us go around a couple more times. I'm not saying it to Ashley, but our callers do this all the time.
Look, I hate our callers as much as you do, but even on that one, I'm not going with it.
All right.
All right. So, anyway, who sexually abused you?
Actually, when my mom got remarried... For a while, my stepdad had a roommate living with us.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So he...
Stepdad had a roommate?
Dude.
Uh-oh. What was your stepdad like?
He was all right.
He was a drug addict too, though, right?
No.
Your mom got into drugs and then married somebody who wasn't into drugs?
Well, I'm not sure if he was. He didn't seem like it.
Uh-huh.
But the whole purpose for her cheating was because of the drugs, to get more drugs.
Of course.
Right. Okay.
And
so, yeah.
And so a couple of months ago, my stepmom left my dad. And then my dad started...
Stepmom.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't hear about her.
We've got to sort of pencil this in.
Right.
She was awful.
Yeah. She had a daughter the same age as I was. So there was always competition, and I was... treated horrible. I was always second best. And
Cinderella? Oh, no, yeah. Ashley. It's Ashley.
Let me just say this. I'm sure my sister would make the same claims. There is not a woman alive that grew up with a biological girl that was about her same age and had a stepmom that didn't believe that she was, you know, crazy second banana to the biological.
It's Cinderella.
And that's all it is.
That's what I feel like, yeah.
And part of it may be true, but it's the other part is just what they feel like.
What they feel like is that they're cleaning up the ashes in the fireplace, and everyone else looking at this
they're
goes,
like,
hey, this is great. They're being treated the same.
Oh,
everyone else, like, hey, good job.
Like, oh, Tammy could do no wrong, but I was just abused. I mean, that is a trait that is much more specific to the feminine side.
But that's why a fairy tale like Cinderella is eternal. It relates.
Yeah. All right. So now what's the problem?
Well, now my parents are back together.
Ooh.
My biological parents.
Wow.
And everything's fine with that. But I had been having some problems with committing to guys.
Yeah.
And they would say, like, they like me and care about me. And I had been going out with this one guy for 5.5 months, and he eventually told me he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was being dishonest, so I broke up with him. And it seems like every time a guy tells me that he likes me or anything more, I freak out.
That makes sense, right, given your past, though, right? The vulnerability that you associate with close relationships.
Right. So, I mean, everything that I've depended on has never really been there except for my father. Mm. So I look up to my father a lot.
Yeah. Hey, all right, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Your family's a disaster, and it's nice that they've cleaned up and got themselves out of the drainage ditch and back on the road, but they're still driving a Vega.
Right.
And you need to, you're smart, you're capable, you're short, so that makes you smart. Shorter people are smarter.
That's right, interesting.
I'm just saying, if you had somebody take an IQ test, one guy was 6'8", the other guy was 5'8", who are you going with?
What about Lauren?
Ooh, Lauren. Well, there's always an exception to every. Now, Lauren is a genius. Are you kidding? You talking about junior? Starts sounding like a sound after a while. Junior producer Lauren? Is that who you're talking about?
That's the one.
Sharp as
you should change to the genius.
genius. She is sharp as one of those balls you roll around on in a yoga class when you're trying to get your back straightened out.
Sack nice. Of wet mice.
Yeah. All right. So, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You need to get your grades good, hang around in school. Don't worry about the guy thing. The guy thing is going to straighten itself out.
Well, yeah, but that's not my question yet.
What's your question? What is your question?
I finally found someone who I'm comfortable with. And we're not dating or anything. He's my best friend. Well, not best friend, but my really good friend. And I'm very interested in him, and I don't feel scared to have that commitment, to take that step into a relationship and let it evolve. And I was curious as to how I may go about telling him.
Hmm. Well,
how long have you guys been friends?
How long? For like, well, freshman year, we were really good friends. And then he left to go.
All right, look.
He's not into her. That's the problem. Or something. There's something wrong with him.
Once in a while, you run into a guy who's very shy and just can't express himself. Once in a while.
Oof.
Once in a while.
You still kind of know it if you're Ashley.
You do.
Yeah.
Although, if you're a little bit effed up and your self-esteem has been
Add the score up. The reason she is willing to get into it with this guy because he's not available.
Okay. On the other hand, you might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah. Just no harm in just telling him.
Be prepared for an answer you don't want to hear, though.
Like, well, right now, if you throw open the door and he has the slightest bit of interest, he will leap through.
Yes, there's no such thing as a guy telling a girl he's attracted to and interested in when he's single. Look, right now,
no.
I just got over.
No. Whatever that
I'm
is.
Working. Okay.
Here's what you need to hear. I'm not into you.
I'm going to school. Okay. And I got a full course.
Gotta focus on my grades.
When a guy's into you, there is nothing. Because when you're 20 years old, when you're 17 years old, when you're 15 year old, as a guy, when you're 28 years old, if you're into a chick, you're in.
It's literally like saying, see that freight train moving down the tracks? There's all kinds of reasons it might stop. No, it's going on the train. It's going. It's coming.
And everything else can just be damned. And who says you can't have a job and a chick? I'm going to go on a limb here, but most of the presidents have old ladies, and they give that speech about not being able to do it without the support and the love and the whatever of this dyke who's sitting behind me. Looks about 100 years older than I am. That's the subtext, at least. The point is if the president can make time for the old lady, I think this guy working at the Kinko's can find a few weekends for you. You know, right now, my career, or this one, too. I just got out of a 2-year relationship, and that was just 4 months ago,
BS.
And I'm looking.
That's BS.
2 years with the same chick, like from 17 to 19, you're looking to pounce on some new poontang. That's all you've been thinking about for the last year and a half of the relationship you're in for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Please, you show me a hot chick who comes into one of these guys' lives, I'll show you guys willing to drop everything and just jump on it. So he's being nice. That's fine. Guys don't have the huevos to say, look, I'm not attracted to you or just whatever. That's fine. They're being nice. It's their job. It's like any other relation. You know what it's like? It's like when you ask somebody out and they don't want to go. It's like when you invite them over to your house. Hey, we're having a little gathering on Saturday. Some of the folks are coming over. Like, you come by casual bar. Gee, Saturday's pretty tight.
I'd love to come.
Well, what do you got going Saturday? Well, I had some previous plans. Well, during the day? Because this thing's... they're nicely saying they don't want to go. You want to coax it out of them that they just don't like you that much?
Right.
It's the same rules.
Right.
It's the same rules for everything. It's the same rules when you apply for a job. It's the same rules when you ask someone out. Same rules for the dinner party. When someone's like, you know, right now we're just not hiring, but you go ahead and keep your resume on file. And we'll call it. Well, when are you going to call? They're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Please, everybody. That's how you know. Not by what's coming out of their mouth.
Their action.
By where you're going when you're done talking.
Right.
Are you going to walk out in the parking lot, get in your car, and drive away from that business? Are you not coming over to their house for the weekend barbecue? Are you two not going out this weekend to see a movie? That's all you need to pay attention to in any facet of life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Drew.
You either got the job or you ain't.
Right. All right, Drew. Tell you one thing we're going to do. We're going to take a whiz.
Cool.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. It's Loveline. Madam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number. 1-800-LOVE-191.
No, no, no. I'm talking to Rachel. Come on.
Come on. I want to
lost her twice.
What do you mean you lost
her
twice?
She's dropped off the phone a couple times.
Well, T.S. All right. Smelly it. Brittany?
Smelly
it?
I was doing a
T.S. Eliot? T.S. Eliot. Oh, my God.
Brittany?
Yes?
18. What's up, baby doll?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Dude.
You know why I wanted to talk to her? Because she's a surfer chick, and I was explaining to people today that surfers are almost retarded, if not fully retarded.
There you go.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. No, let me tell you.
Makes a convincing argument against that, Adam. Ooh, I take it all back.
All right, touche. No, here's why surfers are retarded.
Well, the sun does something bad to them.
Salt water, I think it's like some sort of brine. It gets in their brain and it creates a brain brine.
Right.
And it ruins their brain. Number one. But here's the reality with surfing. If you're into surfing, you're into it early and you're into it often. Mm-hmm. And that means you ain't cutting high school classes to go surfing. You're cutting 7th and 8th grade to go surfing.
Yeah.
So when the swell's up, you're surfing. And there's no time to surf and go to school or surf and work or anything. You surf. You spend 8 hours a day out in the water. And you know who's to your left and to your right?
Other guys.
Other surfers. Yeah. And it's a culture that cares about nothing but surfing. So it's not like, hey, man, did you hear what's going on in Iraq? It's nothing but surfing.
Well, it's really what's going on your little beach.
Right.
Where the girls are walking through. It's almost primitive.
That's
man.
It. All right. So zero education. I mean, just dropping out of school about the 7th grade, essentially. A little back and forth, but cutting and not ever complete. Soaking in this chemical-filled salty stew all day that has atrophied their brains. Hanging out with like-minded retards. And never caring about anything out on land. Basically, they have no land-based interest, except for getting back into the water.
Not unless there's sand underneath you.
And you know what culture invented the surf?
Which culture invented the surf?
Hawaii.
I know. I just didn't want to say it because they yelled at me last time. I called them stupid. Okay. Ooh, maybe that's the genesis of the trouble over there. All right. Anyway, point is, now you weave weed into the equation.
Over.
Copious amounts of weed.
Done.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You might as well just put the kid on life support. So here's the thing. If my kid's, and it becomes a way of life.
Yeah.
So if my kid gets into surfing and is like, I'm into surfing and I just can't help it, and it gets into their blood, and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's their life.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Mm. All right? First off, don't worry about cutting school, son. We're dropping out of school.
Mm.
I'm going to get you a tutor who's going to be on a longboard behind you while you're surfing.
Nice.
Actually, reading Moby Dick to you.
Interesting.
And we're going for the pro-am circuit.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. What's going on? You're 13. You should be turning pro. Like, yeah, your life is good. You're going to make a buck one way or the other. If you're going to go surfing, let's do it full time.
Yeah. You're right.
All right. Brittany?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. 18.
What's up?
Yeah, and here's the other thing that never makes it. Here's the thing. Surfers look great with their shirts off. The chicks are hot. The guys are hot. They get copious amounts of tail because there's just a bunch of other good-looking people with their shirts off who have their brains swollen by salt water who have no education or are high. So it just becomes an F-fest, and the joke's on us because they don't even know what the hell's going on in the Middle East. They don't care. They're surfing and effing.
And effing surfing.
And effing surfing. Brittany?
Yeah.
All right, I need you to name one airplane from World War II. All right.
Oh, Spicoli's actually behind her.
At the moment. We're going to think.
All right, who were the bad guys in World War II?
In World War II? Japan.
All right.
So Pearl Harbor and all that crap was happening.
And?
And Hawaii got bombed too.
Yes, sure. I know. The mother
Pearl Harbor and Hawaii, Adam.
Yeah.
And Hawaii,
yeah.
Mind you.
Pearl Harbor and Hawaii got hit pretty good. Thank God they missed the pipeline and the North Shore. All right. Yeah, they just bombed like around Diamond Head where all those Howleys just go out on their Ziffy boards. All right, hold on a second, Brittany.
Ooh.
I really do think the only reason she knows about Japan's involvement in World War II is that they went and bombed a good surf spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
like if they'd hit Malibu, she'd know about it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, hang on, Brittany. Don't go anywhere because you sound hot. I want to hear what you have to say. We'll take a quick break. Ooh, 32 double Ds up here on Amber 18. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Get it on. Woo! Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll finish up with Brittany. Come on.
Brittany, yeah, Brittany.
You haven't heard her question yet.
Little surfer girl. 18. What's going on, Brittany?
What's up?
What's up? Yeah.
So what is your question?
Me and my friend Trisha wanted to know, because we go surfing like all the time, and we always like chill in our wetsuits for a long time. We're just wondering if you can get a yeast infection from that.
A vaginal yeast infection?
Yeah.
More you're likely to get yeast infection, sort of chafing in the folds of your skin, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeast like moisture. So.
What do you wear under your wetsuit?
I don't wear any bottoms under my wetsuit because I don't like to, but I wear a top. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Why a top?
Just because I take it off halfway once I get out of the water.
Do that fold down thing.
Yeah.
Nothing hotter than seeing that chick change out of the thing, but they do it so well. Like, what I mean is, like, you know, you do that thing where the one chick holds the towel up and the other chick... First off, there's no such thing as that with a guy because there's no such thing as a teenage guy who wouldn't drop the towel.
Immediately, at the most inopportune.
But his nuts were hanging out.
Of course.
It would immediately pull the towel away and then push the guy over when his shorts were down.
In fact, my sons are at an age now where they're getting into that stuff, and they were at a sleepover with two other guys. They had to stay up till 5 in the morning, hyper-vigilant, fearful to go to sleep because... their buddies would F with them if they went to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
They'd put the whipped cream in their hand, the lotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 5 in the morning. Stayed away
from 5 in the morning. We drove home naked from some place once when I was in high school. I think it may have been from the beach. All the guys got naked. We just drove.
You're gay.
And it was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff we did could be construed as gay. I'll be honest with you. It was at night, though. We're driving home to some party. Everyone is naked. And somehow we convinced one of the guys to run out. We're at a stoplight on Ventura Boulevard.
Run around the car.
No, just run out and go push the button. Because you know the signals that would never change when you were younger? Run out and push the button. He ran out and pushed the button. We took off. He was just standing on Ventura. And
of course.
Like Kester, just naked.
Of course. Your point?
Yeah, I know. Women don't have that gene. You know, they can trust... They don't do anything fun, but if they do, they can trust their friends to back them up, not F with them.
Not with guys.
Does not?
No.
Does not exist with guys.
What I understand is why the guy would trust you enough to get out of the car.
Yeah.
Because you'd kick his ass.
We were surprised. We were very surprised that he did. So, Brittany.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've never gotten yeast from this?
No. We were just wondering because we've heard from random people and stuff like that you could get a yeast infection, and we're just like
I don't think it'd be that big. I'm much more worried about your skin getting yeast in the skin, not so much.
Can
in the
you get yeast infection too?
Sure, but that's what it's a fungal infection. That's basically what jock itch is.
What would it like do to your skin? Like what would the
just turns red and irritated?
Would it itch?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Okay. Where do you go surfing?
Encinitas, Carlsbad, Tamarack, like over there, Stone Steps, Acadia,
around
there.
All right. What do you got going? You going to high school?
I just graduated, actually.
What happens next year?
Huh?
Where are you going next year?
Well, it starts
with... I want to go to Grossmont College or, like, Palomar or something. I want to go to Scripps University. Like, I want to go to a college for a two-year student and transfer to Scripps. I don't know if that'll work out too well.
Well, junior college.
Yeah, I don't really like school at all, but I kind of want to work with I want to work with marine animals or something.
I know. I know. That's the whole thing. You want to work, you want to work with otters, but you don't want to go to school. That's a, you know what, junior college should just, they should all have, anyone within 20 miles of the coast should just have a huge sign that says, like, welcome surfers, mahalo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just come on
down.
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
So that's a great marketing plan for junior college.
Yeah. They should actually have one of those things that beach resorts have where you rinse your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you come into the main
hole.
Sure, sure. There's a little mini shower thing. Yeah. You stand there. Get a nice rinse off.
Absolutely.
So you don't track it into the hole.
Just mahalo everywhere. What, the bathrooms be wahinis.
Yeah.
Kane.
Yeah. Be awesome. Get your Gatorade at the snack shack and a pineapple. Be awesome. You just hear that steel guitar going in the background.
Oh, you'd be the best, most popular junior college in the state.
I'm telling you, you make a surfer friendly junior college, and you are class is packed.
Just the music and the labels on things need to be Hawaiian. That's it.
Yeah, just got a whole Polynesian theme. Yeah. It's like an Elvis movie. All right. I would like to one day break down the populace of a junior college, find out the amount of surfers in a junior college as opposed to Ivy League. So many people. Drew, during your days over at Dartmouth or whatever the hell you want, when you were Lord Jeff, how many over at Amherst, how many folks talked about surfing, had surf rack on the car?
Let me see. How much is that for us? Zero.
What about Amber? She got the big jugs over here.
All right.
You want to talk to Rachel?
We'll talk to Amber first. Go ahead.
Let's talk to Rachel. Rachel.
Hi.
You're
20? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
See, Adam, you feel bad now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. What's up?
Well, first of all, I have a question about myself, and then I have a question about something that I heard Drew talking about.
Okay, go ahead.
The question about myself is I went to the doctor to get a checkup and stuff, and they told me I had a high-risk HPV.
Okay.
And this is about 8 months ago.
Okay.
And so they basically didn't explain it to me a whole lot. But they told me that the low risk types give you the genital warts.
Right.
But I don't know if the high risk types do, because I already went for a biopsy and I had precancerous cells, and then I had the treatments.
Cryo, yeah. Well, here's the deal with the high risk. It's not so much about whether it does or does not cause warts. It's that it does predispose to cancer.
Uh-huh.
And it also does tend to be infectious persistently for long periods of time. So, yes, it's something you can transfer to other people, and it will be infectious for a long time, probably. And you'll have
my question is, actually, because I had one doctor tell me that after I got treated with the ice thing, that I wouldn't have it anymore. And then I had another doctor tell me that I would have it.
I think you will have it. You just won't have the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have it for the rest of my life.
No, they used to think that. It now looks like it's very hard to predict how long you'll have it. But, boy, I read something just a couple weeks ago that said it may go away as quickly as 18 months.
Mm.
Some people are saying 5 years.
We got warts on the run in this country.
But the important thing is that you be very, very carefully and regularly screened, and you realize that you are infectious with this.
The root of the cryo.
Yeah.
Like the cryogenics.
Yeah. Cold.
Cold, just cryo is cold?
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I mean, that's...
It doesn't seem to be around 20 years ago.
Look, Chris, dictionary.com, look up the prefix cryo. So, Rachel, what's the other question?
The other part is, I heard you talking about the pearly penile papules.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a question about what that looks like.
Looks like warts. They're hard to tell from warts, unless you have a trained eye.
When were you talking about that?
Not a long time. We haven't mentioned that in quite a while.
I know.
But they look like, they're more symmetrical and they're more circumferential and they're a little flatter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pearly.
They're pearly. They're white.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Eric has a Germany or Florida. The kid's been on hold for an hour and a half.
Okay.
I feel bad.
All right.
Eric?
Yeah.
I was actually going to go to Eric next, but you seem so intent upon the 42, whatever, 32.
32 double Ds. I'm just worried because chicks with 32 double Ds don't sit on hold very long.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to hold, you know. They open the velvet rope right this way, Miss Juggs. Go ahead, Eric.
Germany, Florida?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hear the scat. I want to hear the scat version of Germany or Florida, if I could, Anderson, please.
It's Germany. Oh. Finger popping.
Finger popping.
There it is.
Is it Germany or
Florida?
Hey! Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
Big ending. Wow.
You know, when I was in New York, he was doing a show. I saw him on Conan. He's doing a show called Mambo or something. And I called him. I said, hey, Dave, did I see you on that? And he goes, yeah, yeah, that wasn't a repeat. No, no, yeah, yeah, cancel. It closed next week. He called it Mambo Bombo, he said.
Oh, poor Dag. So talented.
I know.
I always got to find a place for him.
Yes.
All right, Eric.
Yeah.
It's Germany or Florida. Go ahead.
All right. A drunken tourist has been arrested for breaking into a zoo and feeding stolen beer and ice cream to a tiger. The man allegedly stole beer and ice cream from the zoo shop and, as well as giving it to the tiger, drank so much himself that he passed out. The 26-year-old was found by keepers the following morning, still out cold.
All right. I don't think they sell beer in a Florida zoo.
I would think not, and they sell beer everywhere in Germany. Now, he could be screwing with us.
He's not.
He could be sending us a curveball.
No, I'm going Germany.
Germany, yeah.
Germany.
And plus, what zoo could you break into in Florida that wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Mm.
In an old-fashioned zoo.
I don't know about that part. To me, it's
the tigers selling, all put away
it's at selling.
Night.
See, in Europe, here's the thing.
You're treated like an adult in Europe.
In Europe, they know that when adults are going out for outings on a weekend, they like to indulge in a beverage, and they'll go ahead and make it available for you. And if you drink 30 of them and wind your car around a telephone pole, then they'll come get you.
Yeah.
But they treat you like an adult. Yeah, you can have a beer. You can actually hold a beer and walk around
as
a 40-year-old.
No way. Awesome. Public place?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Germany.
It's actually Germany.
Okay.
Thank you.
American tourists, though. I thought that might throw you guys off.
Did he say American tourist?
No, just said tourist.
I said drunken tourist.
Tourist. Drunken tourist does feel very Floridian, but the part where you can actually purchase a beer
and walk
like
around.
An adult, like a human being, it feels very European.
Well, beer and ice cream together was what really threw it for me.
Yeah. Which I would just go ahead and make an ice cream flavored you
float.
Know, a beer flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and do it that way.
Very nice.
Drunky monkey. Ben and Jerry's come out with it. Hoppy. Here's the thing about Europe. You know, say what you want about Europe. They treat their citizens like adults.
Yes.
If you want to have a beer and you want to stroll along and do a little window shopping and have a beer in your hand, that's fine. If you bust the beer bottle and stab a chick with it, then you get into trouble. But until you do that, you get to do your thing, and surprisingly, nothing seems to happen.
Right.
How does that work?
I don't know. It's amazing.
I really wish, you know all I want? All I want is the opportunity to do it. I wish there was some sort of just promissory thing I could sign that said, look, I'm going to go ahead and fill out this paperwork, and now I get to be treated like a goddamn adult. And if I want a beer in a bottle, I get to drink a beer in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want a lighter that doesn't have some thing in it where I have to reset it every time I flick it, and aspirin bottle I can get open without using my teeth, I can do everything. And here's what I'm going to sign. I'm going to sign something that says I won't sue. I'm going to sign something that says if I OD on this Tylenol that didn't have the child protective Brody knob on the top of it, it's my fault. If I go ahead and burn down my trailer with this lighter that didn't have a safety thing on it, and if I get drunk and attack my stepmom with this beer bottle, you can sue. Here's the thing. Where do I sign? Instead, you're treated like the lowest common denominator.
Right.
I mean, here's all life has become in this country, everyone. You go to the airport, you get in line, you take your shoes off. You're not blowing anything up. You're not bringing down any airplanes. You're not flying them into any trade centers. You just get in line, take shoes off, empty them pockets out, step out of line. Let me just rub this wand around you and pat you down. That's what you are. Now, you understand how that works at the airport. Fine. I don't know any way we're going to do it. You could leave the 5-year-old. I saw McCarran being frisked on my way back to L.A. a couple weekends ago. He'll probably not frisk the kid and not frisk the old women who look like Sandy Duncan's mom.
Huh.
You could leave them alone. But I understand you got to have security. But what you people don't understand is this has now pervaded society.
Well, they did by the... No, I don't think that's where it started. I think it was already well underway.
Oh, no, I don't think it started at the airport, but yeah. The equivalent to this, you can't be trusted because somebody might F up, so go get in line and take your belt and shoes off, that is now everywhere. I don't like, for instance, I really don't like drinking a beer out of a plastic bottle. I just don't. It doesn't feel like a beer to me. I like a cold beer bottle in my hand. And I don't like those weird plastic screw top bottle things that they have at all events now, because you could throw your beer bottle out onto the field and bust the umpire in the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like a beer bottle. I don't like transferring things into plastic cups when I have to leave. I don't like the fact that if you're at I remember it was the was a rap party for the Man Show, and we're at a bowling alley that was in Studio City, and the bowling alley we had rented out. And the bowling alley was set back from the street a good, 60 feet, and we're on bowling alley property. The doors let out into the... But because adults... First off, you can't smoke inside of the bowling alley. Everyone's getting drunk at this rap party, and everyone's going out into the front. When people drink, they smoke sometimes. People are going out in the parking lot and having to go smoke, even though no one would have cared it was a rap party. Fine. So everyone has to file out and smoke, and as you're filing out into this little area with a bench and an awning that's just out front of the door, which is well off the street and still in the parking lot, still in the facility, you're holding your drink. You want to go have a swig? I need that drink. Well, why can't I? I'm just stepping out. No. I'm stepping 3 feet out the goddamn door to smoke a butt. And no. I'm just standing here. I'm not getting in my car. The drink has to stay in. So now you have to take the drink. You've rented the place out. You got to go outside and smoke. You got to take the drink, and you have to sort of set it on the ground inside the thing. And, some people like to talk, and they like to take a swig, and they like to blow a little butt, and then they head back in. Now the drink is sitting inside in amongst other drinks that were all sat down, and you have to sort of go ahead and make sure you get your drink when you come back. It would be impossible for you to stand out there and do it, right?
Awful. Yeah. Yeah.
What is that? Can we reclaim this country in the name of sanity, in the name of adults who want to be treated like adults?
You just
can't do anything anymore.
I know.
I mean, can we just step up? It's just, there's a goddamn rule for everything. Nothing can be done. Everyone's treated, and everyone's just the lowest common denominator.
Right. Everyone's a liability.
Everyone's a liability. Fantastic. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get like Jim Morrison. I'm going to get fat. I'm going to grow a beard. I'm going to France to write poetry.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you get the heroin going, too.
Yeah, I'm
going
to be like,
yeah.
Blood on the highway. The Indians' distant relatives cry while the eagle soars. You say no, I say yes. You know what I mean?
Genius.
Mom, I want to F you. Write that down, Drew. It's the kind of thing I could be doing that in a bathtub in Paris right now.
Wow.
All fat, drinking.
Oh, my God, selling that stuff for a fortune.
With my lighter with no weird ribbon on it that takes the skin off my thumb. Can't light the lighter. It's awesome. They came out with these great childproof lighters. Here's how it works. They don't work! That's how it works.
They can't be turned on.
They can be ignited. Yeah. And the great thing is there's 15 different varieties of them, so you have to go, no, you don't know how that one works. No, that one... It's awesome. It's perfect. It's a perfect society. It really, here's what it is. You're just tormented now. You know, that's what purgatory is. You get a lighter that doesn't really work, and you have to just keep flicking. It's weird. Drew, have you seen these childproof lighters? They have a weird ribbon on them, so you have to press your thumb down really hard on the serrated flint part in order to spin it, because there's a band that sort of prevents you from spinning it.
Jeez.
So they actually have to take something that works perfectly and then F it up a little bit so a kid couldn't work it. You know what I mean? It'd be like a key that fits into a deadbolt and works perfectly. The action is perfect, except for that's too easy for the kid to get in.
Right.
So we'll F it up. Yep. So now you have to jiggle it around a little bit while you turn. So every time you come into your house, you have to jiggle it, move it around, and shake the door in order to get it to work. So they essentially have to sort of break things that work fine so kids can't figure it out.
Crazy.
It's awesome. It's
good
awesome.
Times.
It's
good
awesome.
Times.
It's awesome. Amber?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening, baby? 18?
Yes.
You have a 32 double D?
32 double D.
That's what I'm saying, everybody. See, people do
Bugsy,
this.
Bugsy.
I'm a 39D. That's not what you want, the 32. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. What's, how tall are you?
About almost 5'3".
Ooh, okay. I'm still there. And how much you weigh?
About 110.
See? And double D. Now, you could go to 34D, right?
They don't fit quite right.
Yeah, they're like me in the 34s.
Victoria's Secret doesn't even make 32 double D. So can't even wear that bra.
That's awesome. That's the equivalent. You know, that's basically the equivalent of... That's the equivalent for chicks. Chicks hate her like you hate... Like, once in a while, the guy... Is that guy is like, yeah, I can't wear those lacrosse shirts. They're too tight on my guns. My biceps too big. You know, it's like it'll tear. If I scratch my back of my neck, I'll just go ahead and tear the sleeve on. You know, it's like, yeah, you make me sick. Yeah, they don't even make that for... Oh, it's awesome. All right, so... Yeah.
So my question is, I really do want a breast reduction. I would like to have like a full D or a small D. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if I should wait until I have babies.
How's your shape?
Nice.
Oh, said with confidence.
Everyone thinks I have breast implants.
Big areolas?
No, tiny.
Tiny. That's a nice, novel look in its own way. Yes, Drew? Drew's nodding feverishly. Hold on. Ooh, high five. Rarely get that from Drew.
Never seen you quite so excited. novelty. Well, my
delightful. Oh,
I do say.
Yes. So see the small, how big are the areolas, would you say?
Oh, like a quarter.
Yeah,
a little bit smaller maybe.
Small areolas on the big cans are their own thing, but they work.
Quarters are sometimes my bras, you know. I just tape them on.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't toy with me. Is she toying with me
now?
I
think so.
I heard her laughing in the background.
She'll come get you, Amber, for stuff like this.
You don't mess around.
This is sacred territory for Mr. Corolla.
Amber. Amber?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now I know someone's laughing in the background.
No, so it's my girlfriend, Crimson. She's mad I said her name.
Okay, but you still have the 32 double Ds?
Yes, I have 32 double D, and my question is my sister has big boobs too, but see, she had babies and stuff, and she got a breast reduction because her boobs got bigger. Mm. And, I mean, they hurt me and stuff, and I have to go to the chiropractor, but I'm just... I'd rather have it now, but I'm wondering if I should wait until... But I'm not planning on having babies for, like, another 7 years or so.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
How's he?
He doesn't get to touch them, so he thinks that if I get a breast reduction, that he'll never get a chance to touch the biggest boobs ever.
He doesn't get to touch them?
No, I'm a virgin.
Wait, Adam, wipe that tear away.
It's virgin. Okay. Wow. What do you do with him? Do you mess around?
Just, you know, kiss and stuff.
Oh, okay. Sort of refreshing. How long have you been together with him?
Oh, like 5-6 months. 5.5 months.
How old is he?
He's 19.
Oof, he's going insane. And what's the plan? Are you going to remain a virgin until you're married?
I think so.
Really? Does he know about this?
Yeah, he knows, but he probably thinks I'd give in, but I won't.
You won't? Wow. See,
not to
here's
him.
The thing.
Not to him.
Oh, poor guy.
Chicks don't have that biological mandate.
No.
It's like having a staring contest with someone who has no eyelids.
Right.
It's just, they win every time. They
it's
just
like,
can't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. Like, for us, it's willpower. We're whole, you know what I mean? We're white knuckling it. For them, it's like they're just not interested. It's like, you know.
Like, why would I want to compromise myself that way? What's in it for me? Sort of her thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, you're not that into him?
No, I like him, but I mean, how serious can you be, you know, when going off to college? And
it's a healthy young woman. You're very evolved, healthy, Amber. Yeah, very good.
Where are you going to college?
Pepperdine University in Malibu.
Oh, my God. You're going to be in the neighborhood because I get out that way.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you guys do guest speaking there?
Once
Adam would do that for free at Pepperdine.
Take the Aston Martin out for a walk. It's got a very familiar horn sound. If you hear it in front of the sorority house, just grab that bikini and come running out. Oh, you're going to fit right in at Pepperdine.
Amber,
let's go, baby. This thing really eats gas. Let's go now.
What was that, Amber? What did you say?
I just said, going off to college and stuff, I didn't want too much.
Yeah, you know, you're listening. You're very involved. This is all good.
We're going to miss the buffet, Gladstones.
Goofing around with you, but you're saying things are all very, very healthy. So as far as the reduction, I don't get off into that just yet. A lot of plastic surgeons would recommend that you wait till after you have kids because things can change. Things can shrink even. They can involute afterwards.
Yeah. But what about the fact that her sister went up? I mean, do you think there's a mandate there?
Not really. And there's plenty of time after the fact. And listen, you do your back exercises and the workout and that you'll be fine.
Yeah. All right.
If you really have trouble with deep bra strap groove and neck and back pain, that kind of thing, there's certainly plenty of plastic surgeons out here while you're in college that could oblige.
Yeah. And there's you go to the chiropractor.
Yeah.
Hey, don't do that. Just get a nice massage. Stretch yourself out. All right. Have fun at Pepperdine.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll see you there.
Oh, awesome. Adam, do not go down there and start looking for her. Amber, I can see you now.
PA system. I know you're here. On top of the car.
With the four horns.
The big four horns. Like you pulled it off.
Like a Banana Republic.
Yeah, it's like the thing they have out in the parking lot of the county fair.
Yeah.
It's a public address system.
Yeah.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Dating kids teacher. Wow. He's got a 7-year-old kid. Rev is dating the teacher out in Alaska. Ooh. Take a quick break. Be right back with Rev after this. Yeah, buddy. Woo! Gotta bang your head, Drew. That's my boy.
Hey.
Hey. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bill Bellamy's coming in tomorrow night. 311 is going to be here on Wednesday. Drew, why don't you thank Scott Thomas, PhD.
Scott Thomas, electrical engineer, for sending us mixed nuts and smoked almonds.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He knows how to make us happy.
Yeah.
He's from Banner Elk, North Carolina, looks like.
Beautiful country, beautiful people. Let me say this, Drew. When people send us food, on average, from the time we get the package to the time we start eating it, what is that time? What is the duration of that time?
Well, it's hard to specify because things come in different kinds of packages.
It takes us a while to get them
open. But whatever it takes to get it open, it's about a minute and a half.
Here's what happens. Ann brings a box in and says, something came in the mail.
We're like badgers digging into it.
What is that? And Ann's like, I don't know. What is that? I don't know. Give me that. What's going on? And we open up. We start rustling around for it. Like a kid on Christmas or like a raccoon in a dumpster. We just start digging around. What is this? Hey, what's this? These are nuts. You open the one, I'll open the other. We just start digging in.
Yeah.
And we probably shouldn't be saying this on the air. Sad to say, I've had homemade fudge and cookies and stuff that could easily be poison sent and devour that,
nice,
too.
Nice.
I sniff it a little bit.
After you've eaten it.
I make that same comment that the guys make on the shows that I watch when I watch like 48 Hours and 2020 on the weekends when they bust those guys that are putting hits on their wives trying to collect on the insurance when they're being videotaped inside of the cab of the truck. They have a meeting place. It's always in the parking lot of a place you've heard of, like Coco's or something like that.
And,
yeah. They meet out in the parking lot, and the first thing the person says, like, so you're a real hitman. You're not an undercover guy or anything, right? No, I'm a hitman. Okay, great. Here's what I want to do. And then they proceed to videotape. Yeah, the guy's wired like a Christmas tree, and the guy then proceeds to explain the plan about snuffing the wife out. Now, the other thing about that is I realize everyone has a pattern. I've seen these a million times. They videotape. It's always funny when it then goes to trial. And there's a videotape of the person going, listen, just kill them any way you want. You get 10 grand up front. You get 10 grand when you complete it. I don't know. Well, it is important for them to suffer. And I look, whatever you do, what you got to do. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. I'll just tell you when they're home. And then they go ahead and watch that videotape, and then they play it in court, and the person's like, well, I was never planning on going through, you know. I was just talking, you know, just meeting the guy. You know, I read his ad in the back of Field and Stream, and I met him out in the parking lot of the TGI Fridays and offered him $10,000 to kill my wife, but I never intended to have her killed.
Didn't mean anything
by
it.
Didn't mean anything by it. But, yeah, they always ask.
Taking so personally.
They always ask that question. But here's what I realized from all those shows. A lot of women killing the husbands, too.
Oh, really interesting.
Couple things. First off, don't take out life insurance. That's number one. That's the first thing I learned. No insurance at all. Car insurance, earthquake insurance, no insurance. Number one. Number two, you can't have a schedule. Because every single one of these works this way. Wife's telling the guy, well, what happens? Well, at 10 o'clock, he's going to be in the bathtub and he's going to be drunk. Okay? You knock on the door, he'll come down, and when he comes down, he'll answer that. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's why I have no schedule.
Right.
I come.
Your wife can't catch you. I know she's been trying.
I might
come. She was talking to me about that.
I might come home at 12:30 at night. I might come home at 5 in the morning. I may leave early right now and come home. You know what I mean? I may leave tomorrow morning at 9. I may leave at noon. And I always walk in a serpentine fashion inside the house. You don't know which way. And some days, I leave out the front door. Other days, I'll just pull up a access hatch, crawl out the underpinning, and go out the living room.
It's funny, we were at the party the other night. She sort of put her finger up against the area, and a fox is on the move.
Oh, really? So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's looking for you.
Now, there are other times when I leave out of the bedroom, just rappel down the front of the house.
Oh, well, I don't think she knows about that.
You get it. Well, I don't want... That's
I'm
my
just
point.
Saying,
that's
just
my
saying,
point. Man. That's my point. You got to mix it up. Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Got
to
mix it up.
Rev?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, I got to tell you, I totally just love you guys. Adam, I hope that you don't leave Loveline. But
yeah,
well, that's interesting you should say
interesting
that.
Interesting you should say that because that's our next call. That's what our next call's about.
Well, if you do, I'll take your job.
Thank you.
All right, Rev, we'll think of you.
Who cares? Go ahead.
I have a 7-year-old, and I volunteer at his class. I did it for his kindergarten, and I did it for his first grade this year. And they had, like, a new teacher in there this year. And we started hitting it off, and around Christmas time, we started, like, seeing each other.
Mm-hmm. What was the dude's name?
Tony. No, I'm not going to give a name out, you know, but... anyway, we started seeing each other, and we...
Is it a dude?
No, dude, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Yeah, I know, because they don't allow...
He wants your job, Adam. Remember that. He wants your job.
From Alaska. They don't allow gays over there. I know.
Right. Yeah, I was
Gay guy in his right mind would go to Alaska. Imagine that.
Yeah, well, actually, there's some gay folks up here.
They're gay, but let me tell you something. That's deliverance gay. That's grizzled gay.
Bear gay.
That's a mountain man gay.
Right, right.
Like, any port in a storm, it's all this. It's looking to generate a little body heat.
Grizzled
get a lot
gay.
Of women this way. Grizzled gay. Guy with, you know, big thing, a plug in his mouth, dripping down his beard.
Good times.
Wearing some pelts. All right, so anyway, Rev, you're into
that
you're
accurate, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You're into the teacher.
Right, she's like real tall, blonde, blue-eyed. She wears like nerdy glasses. She's very, very
wow.
hot. Anyway, we kept it like on the down low because I didn't really want to, like, I'm kind of careful with relationships because I'm like single father and I don't want to like drag my kid into some kind of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so then we like kind of came out once school was out. And I'm kind of feeling like... I'm kind of feeling like I might be creating like kind of a like touchy situation with my kid.
Yeah.
But
well, look, hold on. Are you quiet? Are you serious about this person?
I'm pretty happy just being with me and my son. She's nice, and I think that everything that she's done in the relationship is perfect.
Oh, okay. Does she have to be your kid's teacher next year?
No.
All right.
Then you're fine. You're fine.
Whatever. Do whatever you want.
It's like, you know, dating a teacher and a grad student or something. It's like when you're not in that role any longer, then all right.
Right. All right. Let's talk to Steve, who's 23. Steve?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Well, I'm kind of worried here. I'm a big fan of you guys' show. I work nights, so you guys get me through till about midnight, and then I listen to Stern from 3 to 6.
Steve's completely screwed.
What's going on here? How are you going to take over Stern's show and work till midnight here and then, you know, pick up at 6 in the morning or whatever time you're going to be doing the next show?
Yeah, well, that's tough. Yeah, first I'm going to need a big flour sack size of nose candy, a little booger sugar. Yeah, the real problem, or the second, third part of that problem is this daily
TV show,
Comedy Central show that now I hopefully will fold. I'm not going to screw it up. I'm not going to sabotage
just
it.
Just wish it out.
I just wish it into the cornfield. Because I'm doing a show that's going to come on after the Daily Show every night. That's going to be a nice pain in my rump, and then this TLC Home Improvement show. So you know, when it rains, it pours. Yeah, it looks like, and nothing official, but it does look like I'll be doing Stern's job at least out here on the West Coast and some parts of Arizona, and maybe you know, San Diego and San Francisco or something like that. I don't know when that's going to start. I'm not going to be able to do both simultaneously. That pays a hell of a lot more money than this, and I'm probably going to have to do it. So, Steve, you're going to have a tough life.
I don't know what I'm going to do, man.
You can catch Adam in the morning. Like, well, you're going to be asleep then, though.
Who, me?
Right. Well, he'll be hearing David Lee Roth in the morning.
No, I don't think he's going to be out here.
No. There'll be no.
Yeah.
But he said he will listen to the early feed, though. Is that?
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to feed. I don't think they're going to feed the East Coast out here anymore.
Really?
If they're not going to replay it later on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hate to say it, going to have to do the serious thing.
What's that?
Hate to say it, I'm going to have to do the serious thing. It's the only option.
All right. Well, knock yourself out.
All right, guys.
All right, everybody, boy. He's a fan. What can you do? Yeah, I feel bad for guys who work late night and listen to this show, because you do establish relationships with your late night hosts. And also, you know, the thing I like about this show is we go on for like 25 minutes at a time.
Right, none of that 4 minutes and then a commercial.
You listen to some AM talk, especially in the morning, and you do not make it longer than about a 4 minute run.
Right.
And it's incredibly frustrating. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, who are we going to talk to, Drew?
John.
Getting ready to ship out. 21-year-old, one of those kids. Ship out. Is going to Iraq?
Yeah.
John?
Yo.
Where are you going?
Actually, I'm going to San Diego for boot camp.
Okay.
He's already gone. I can hear him.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and pick up a phone, and don't put us on the speakerphone, and we'll take a quick break, and we'll get right back and talk to you after this. Hey, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's your favorite band.
Who is it?
The Gorillaz.
Oh, they are my favorite.
Love those cats.
I think they're a-holes. That's right.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Murdoch from Gorillaz. You're listening to Loveline with Adam and Drew.
Thank God he cut that liner, because Murdoch just turned out to be a household name.
Sure. Huge deal.
Yeah. No, we love those guys. Awesome. John?
Yup.
All right, so you're 23 and getting ready to ship out to San Diego.
I'm 23, I'm 19.
Ooh.
All right. Well, it says 23. You're 19 and you're getting ready to ship out to San Diego.
Yup, I'm getting ready to ship out to San Diego for 3 months of boot camp. I ship out next Sunday.
What's your question?
Actually, I've been going out with a 21-year-old girl for 2 months, and she has two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty funny that her dad pays more attention to me than she does.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you with her, then?
Because, you know what? I'm 19, I love kids, and I'm just trying to look for something. I'm trying to look for a girl right now. And
hey, you're just desperate. You haven't... Here's the thing.
Wow, you're desperate.
You didn't get a lot of tail in high school.
Hey, you know what? I was homeschooled pretty much.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Let me explain what happens here. She is damaged goods because she's got the two kids. She's got the divorce and the two kids, maybe twice divorced. She's got the baggage. She's got the F up. She's wearing the scarlet letter. she's a cute chick, but she had a couple of kids, so her number's been lowered.
And John doesn't know how to judge those things. He's never been around his peers.
John doesn't know anything. Yeah. John didn't get any in his home school.
He's so happy that she's having sex with him. It's whatever.
So he's in, and it's fine. But now, John, you're going to San Diego. You're 19, and after you're done in San Diego, God knows where you're shipping out to. This thing's over.
Or don't cling too tightly to it anyway.
You think so?
You can see where it goes, but don't declare everlasting love and commitment.
Are you, you're in the Navy?
19, for God's sake.
You're in the Navy?
I'm actually in the Marines.
So Pendleton, going to San Diego.
Are you getting out? Well, yeah, they also have.
You're right, the Navy's. But I didn't know it's a boot camp. Then, you know
well,
I mean?
That's true. And
yeah,
and
camp is 3 months.
Where do you go after you complete your boot camp?
Actually, I'm going to come back to Chicago for like 10 days, and then I have to ship back out to San Diego for about 2 months for MOS training.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm coming back here because I'm actually on reserve, so I'm actually going to get a full-time job and stuff. And I'm
Aren't they using the reserves these days?
You know what? They are. There's a slight chance I might get shipped out somewhere else, like overseas.
Yeah, like Iraq, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
I'm sure the recruiter was like, John, we'll send you to sunny San Diego, do a couple of push-ups, get a nice tan, meet some hot chicks over at the Tijuana border there.
Give you some
bang
extra income.
Bang a few prostitutes, make a few extra bucks, and we'll send you back to Chi-Town.
Get yourself a full-time job.
Do a little
job.
Work, then it's back off to San Diego again, get you some expensive college-like training, then it's back to Chi-Town again, you hang out, get a gig, maybe we'll send you Iraq. I would probably just hang out in Chi-Town. So go ahead and sign.
80% of our routes of our recruits end up in Frankfurt,
Chicago.
Frankfurt, or
oh,
Texas.
Yeah. Oh, there's Hawaii. Deal. There's Frankfurt. It's awesome. It's Cuba. Yeah, it's awesome. You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere, or you could be traveling through the dusty streets of Iraq with you know your makeshift plywood
Fallujah.
Duct taped onto your Hummer to get a little extra protection.
All right, here we go. Take another call.
All right. Saw a whole thing about that on 60 Minutes. You know. They still don't have the armor plating on that stuff. Anna?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
Recently had a baby?
Yeah.
Now you have no sex drive?
No.
How long ago was the baby?
7 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you been depressed?
No, I didn't have any depression problem whatsoever.
Are you breastfeeding?
Not anymore.
Are you menstruating normally?
Yeah.
Are you on birth control pills?
No.
All right, well, that's very common up that first year especially. There's a sort of a tremendous hormonal shifts that can shut down the sex drive. It's sort of nature's way of contraceptive, so you don't have another one kid on top of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
sometimes getting on a birth control pill, again, different pill types for different women, can sort of kickstart things again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, but before I even got pregnant, I didn't really enjoy sex anyway.
Uh-oh.
But now it's, like, worse. I just dread it.
All right, to me, that also means you're not really in love with the guy. He's not being a good father or a good boyfriend.
Well, he's actually my husband right now.
Ooh.
We're married. So.
Shocker. He's not... Okay, but the statement still stands, right? Mm-hmm. Can you do the math?
Are you that into him?
Yeah. I've known him all my life.
Ooh.
So,
I know, look, when you get that answer... Like, do you like your job? Listen, I got to pay rent.
Or I've been doing it since I was 19.
Yeah, yeah. We're not asking if you need money. We're asking you, do you like your job? Like, are you into your husband? Your answer is, I've known him.
Yeah.
My whole life.
And that's not usually
a criteria for being good. Is he being a good father?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great father.
And he's a great husband?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, act like it, would you? I mean, don't dance around. You're into the guy.
Yeah.
But you can't stand him on top of you.
So, were you sexually abused?
Well, I've had a few incidents when I was younger.
Okay, you could have brought that up, too. It would help us.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
So, if you want to preserve this relationship, you may want to work on that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
How about no more crapping out of any kids until Mama gets her head right?
Okay.
I don't mean sexually, but whatever happened to you... Whatever sexual abuse or abuse happened to you,
rape or whatever, work on
growing
that.
Up. How about you work on that? Because you're going to screw your kid up.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Good. And I like you, Anna, because you didn't answer with, "But I love my kid."
But I'm a good mom.
But I'm a good
best
mom.
Mom you ever
right.
heard of.
Right. Yeah. I would say that junkies and prostitutes and survivors of abuse probably make the claim of, I love my kid, I'm a great mom.
I'm the greatest mom.
Better than educated, intelligent, hardworking mothers.
Who are wringing their hands, worrying.
They're neurotic that they're not doing enough or they're screwing their kid up.
Right.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show, y'all. Bill Bellamy, the delightful and lovable Bill Bellamy, is in here tomorrow night, then 3:11 on Wednesday. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
More cello, please.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.